are blessed today before the sermon. We get another message, and that's get to see the dedication of some babies today. And two babies, one near and dear to my heart, and then a family near and dear to my heart, the Maxwells. And as most of you know, baby dedication here is just a great way to, for one, just to celebrate this new life, and also to thank the Lord for this new life, because we know children are a blessing from the Lord. And it's really more so a parent dedication than it is a baby dedication. So the baby's just doing their job, sleeping and other things babies do. And us parents have the challenge and a rewarding part of raising them right. And so we're going to dedicate little Millie today. And so Josh and Leslie, if y'all want to come on up here, and the girls can come up here too. And whoever else wants to come up here, you're welcome to. Well, she was born July 10th, right? Okay, very good. Well, she was in a hurry to get here, and a lot of you know the story about her arrival and quite an adventure going to the hospital on the interstate. But things didn't go as they had planned, but I think everything went as God had planned. And it's amazing how much she's grown and what she weighs now, and just a precious gift. And Josh and I joke that we're part of an exclusive club, the three daughter club. So we have that that blessing to share with one another. And just want to, I do this to all the time. Usually when I talk, people go to sleep and babies cry. So I don't know, you know. And get your webbing up there. And y'all know the importance of raising them right in the Lord, and y'all are doing that. And so I just want to encourage y'all. And a great psalm is Psalm 127. It says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives you to his beloved even in sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." And see, y'all are indeed blessed, and your quiver is full. And I thought about it, you have a quiver full of pink arrows, and so and Barbie dolls and everything. And Haley, what do you think about her? You like her? You think you're going to keep her? Yeah. Hadley, what do you think about her, sweetie? I'm not quite sure if she knows what to think about any of this. So, yeah. Well, what a great blessing, and just remember that that we are as a church family to pray for them as a whole, because they have a responsibility, but we have a responsibility too. We're to provide a place where they can come and feel encouraged in the faith. They can come and grow and learn, and where Hannah and Hadley and little Camilla can learn about the Lord, and to see an example not just at home, but here at church. And so so just be in prayer for them and encourage them in their faith and their walk with the Lord as they raise them up, all three of the little girls, in the right way. And so what a blessing and what a privilege that y'all have. And so let me pray for her. I'm off his big clothes. Got the microphone kicking. Let's pray for her. Father, we just want to pray for Millie, Lord. And Lord, we know her middle name is Joy, and she brings great joy to this family. And she brings great joy to all of us, Lord. And just the blessing that you have of just growing her up, and Lord, just her developing and being safe, and Lord, just taking care of her, Father. And we just pray for her life, Lord Father. Just protect her, and Lord, just help her to come to know you one day, and just be with Josh and Leslie, Lord Father. Just encourage them in the faith, and Lord, them continue to be the example that they need to be, Father. And we just thank you for this family and what they mean to this church and what they mean to us. And we love you. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
Get the mic up a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. got a little Bible for her. She can look at it during the sermon this morning.
Okay.
And a little certificate.
Make sure she rings it.
Yeah. Sweet pie. Love you guys.
Love you too.
All right, always an adventure, never a dull moment at the house, that's for sure. Well, today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Well, we've been going through Philippians for a while, and we're going to finish out chapter 3 today and move on to the next chapter, chapter 4, the last chapter, next time. So in Philippians chapter 3, be in verses 17 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17, it says, Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often have told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself." Let's pray. Father, Your Word tells us that we are to receive the Word with meekness, and Lord, that we are to approach it with humility and with a mindset, Lord, of that we can always learn more about Your Word, and the mindset of humility that this Word is for us. Lord Father, it's not for somebody else. It's not for our neighbor. It's not for somebody we're thinking of. It is, but it is for us in a real personal way. And Father, help us to just to grow and learn from this passage this morning, and help us to understand it. And not just understand it, but to know how we can leave the doors today and live it, Lord, at home, at work, in the community, and everywhere we go, Lord Father. And I pray, Lord, it would just encourage us to be more like Christ. Encourage us to be the believers that You've called us to be. Speak through me now today, Lord God, and just give us a word from You. And we thank You for Your word. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there's a man that dug his own grave, and he's a great example for all of us. You are thinking, what in the world? His name is Phocas, and he lived in the 4th century. And Phocas, I mean P-H-O-C-A-S. And he lived in the 4th century in Asia Minor, and he lived in a city by the gate. And in his little cottage by the gate, he had a garden as well, and he would cultivate the garden, and he would love his... As people would come by through the gate night and day, they would pass by his place. And so he would love to show them hospitality and to just let them sit and give them a refreshing drink or a word and encourage them. He did this quite a bit all the time. But something happened that forever changed his life. The emperor, Diocletian, he gave the command that Christians must be put to death. And so soldiers came to the city where Phocas lived to look for a name, to kill a man named Phocas. And the soldiers entered the city, and one hot afternoon they passed by his cottage and garden. And in his innocence, he treated them as though they were the warmest of friends. And he welcomed them, and they had such a good time, he invited them to spend the night and to stay over. And the next day they could get on with their business, and they said they would. And in the course of their conversations, he said, "What is your business?" And they told him they would answer his question if he kept it a secret. And they knew that this man obviously could be trusted. And so they told him the secret, that they were soldiers and they were there to carry out an order to execute a man by the name of Phocas, who was a Christian and who was a dangerous follower who must be executed immediately. And he said, "Oh, I know him very well. And by the way, he's quite near. Let's attend to it in the morning." And so his guests retired there, and so he sat during the night. Could he escape? And he thought he could easily escape and go and stay with a friend. But he decided that was not the best thing to do. And so he went out to his garden and began digging in the middle of the night. And he loved digging out in the garden and just getting in the earth and the smells and the feel and everything. And so he kept on digging throughout the night. And before dawn, it was done. He had dug his own grave. And so morning came and awoke the executioners, and he said, "I am Phocas." And the men stood motionless in astonishment. They couldn't believe it. How could this man who was so sincere, who was so kind to them, be the one that they were sent to execute? But he reminded them that they had a job to do, and he was not bitter at all, nor was he afraid of death. And so the soldiers did their duty and lay his body in the garden that he loved so dearly. And that is a true story, by the way, and that is a great example for you and I, that we will never be in a situation where we have to dig our own grave, but whatever situation we are in, we are to be like him. We are to be faithful, faithful in life and faithful in death. And that whatever we do, whatever garden we cultivate, so to speak, whatever we do in life, whether at work or whether at home or whether at church, whatever we do, we are to live in a way that pleases God. So he's a great example for us for being faithful to the Lord. And you and I are to be faithful to the Lord. And I wonder, is that your desire today to be like him and to be like that in life, to truly be faithful? And I don't know about you, that is a desire of my heart, is to be faithful to the Lord. And as we dedicated these precious babies, you know, the way I can lead my family the right way is that I am faithful to the Lord. And the way Josh and Leslie can lead their family is that they are faithful to the Lord. And the way you and I can all lead our families, and the way that our church can make an impact in the community, the way that we can do anything pleasing to the Lord is that we are faithful to the Lord. So is that a desire of your heart? And are you being faithful to the Lord? Well, from the text, I want to give you three keys to be faithful. Three keys to be faithful, that we can be like Phocas, faithful in life and faithful in death. Last week we looked at Paul. The Apostle Paul has been showing us his desire to know Christ more. And we saw last week that he reminded us that he was not there yet, that he was, in spite of his experience, in spite of his service for Christ, he had not fully arrived. He will never fully arrive until he gets to heaven to be in Christ's presence and to fully know him in that experience. And so he pressed on and pursued Christ. And for us to pursue Christ, to press on, we must be faithful. So how are we faithful in life and death? So here's three keys to being faithful. The first key we see from our passage is be influenced by godly examples. You and I, to be faithful, we have to be influenced by godly examples. The story you may have heard about Benjamin Franklin, who wanted the people of Philadelphia to have some street lighting. So he didn't call a town meeting. He didn't go around and talk to people and try to argue his point. All he did was he got a beautiful lantern on a long bracket in front of his house. He kept the glass polished and carefully trimmed and lit the wick every evening at the approach of dusk. And the lamp helped the people see the pavement ahead of them and made them feel more secure at life. And so others saw this, and so guess what they did? They started one by one getting a lantern in front of their own house, and before you know it, the city had lighting everywhere. You see, they were inspired by him, encouraged to go do that themselves. And you and I, as we follow Christ to be faithful, we have to be inspired and encouraged by others who are following Christ, others who are shining a light, if you will. Because people have a powerful influence over our lives, whether you know it or not. They can either influence you in a bad way, or they can influence you in a good way. And so we have to look to the examples of those who follow Christ. Notice in verse 17, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Paul wants them to follow his example. And this is mentioned several times throughout Scripture, and I'll just give you a few verses to write down and to ponder. For example, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, in verse 16, he says simply, "Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me." And in chapter 11, verse 1, he says the same thing, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." I wonder if you're living in a way that you can tell others, be an example. Follow me. Be an imitator of me. Do what I do, not just what I say. And Paul's not being arrogant here. He's not saying, "I'm all that, look at me." No, this was something that was rooted in Jewish roots. It's something they did, that a pupil would follow the example of his teacher. And he's saying simply, you see me pursuing Christ. You see me running the race, wanting to know Christ more. Follow me. You pursue Christ as well. But he wants him also to look at the example of others too. He says, observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Look at the pattern. He might be talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus, he's mentioned before, but he's talking about other believers in general around him. He says, don't just look at me, look to the example of others. How many of you watched the Republican nominee presidential debate the other day? How many of you watched the whole thing? God bless you. You earned something? I don't know what it was. I just watched a few minutes of it, and I thought I was watching a bunch of 4 or 5-year-olds, you know, pointing fingers and fighting each other, and I was expecting one to go run off and go tell their mommy and daddy. And, you know, it's really a shame. You wish they could just sit there and talk about, this is what I stand for, this is what I want to do, and somebody says, this is what I stand for, this is what I do, but no, it's back and forth, it's personal. But the Republicans are on the lookout. They're looking at all these candidates to see who is the best potential candidate, who can actually win, and who can represent the party well, and who can actually run the country well. Well, Paul wants us to be on the lookout, not for a presidential candidate, but he wants us to be on the lookout and observe those who we can see who are following Christ, those who embody everything Paul's talked about so far in this letter, who strive for unity, those who are humble, who are selfless, those who pursue Christ, those who risk their lives, who do whatever it takes to follow him. And so these are people we should be looking out for, examples of Christ. And so I wonder, are there people in your lives that you can look to and be inspired to follow Christ? That you can look to as an example of the faith? And I hope when you come to church, you can see examples and be inspired to follow Christ even more. And I hope in your small groups, you have people that inspire you, that encourage you. Because following Christ is not just something that we teach others. It's not just taught, it's caught, right? We learn by watching other people. Little Lemma, she loves to dance. And man, you turn the music on and she can bust a move and she can do all sorts of moves. And it's funny just watching her. Now, where did she get that from? She didn't get it watching Daddy, of course, right? She didn't get it in a classroom. Nobody sat her down and said, Emma, this is a move you need to do. This is how you learn. No, she learned doing that by watching who? Who do you think? Ainsley, right? Ainsley loves to dance. That's her passion in life. So Ainsley dances, and guess what? Emma watches her dance, and so she's inspired to do the same thing. And man, she can do pretty good. Well, the same is true in the Christian life, right? Yes, we learn in the classroom. Yes, it's important that we come to Sunday school and come to church. But learning to follow Christ is not just taught, it's caught too. We not only learn about it from other people, we learn by watching other people who are examples in the faith. And so if you want to be more faithful, look to somebody else who is being faithful. If you want to live by great faith, be encouraged by somebody else who has great faith. If you want to pursue Christ to know him more, watch somebody else who is pursuing Christ to know him more. So we have to be influenced by godly examples. Proverbs reminds us that as iron sharpens iron, so one man to another. We sharpen one another. We help one another in the faith, encourage one another. And so there's probably somebody in your life that you think of that is a godly example, that is a great influence over your life. Well, you know, ask them about their faith. Take them out to lunch one day or just get to know them even more and say, you know, I'm inspired by your walk with Christ. Not what is your secret, because there's no secret, right? But just tell me about it. Tell me about your prayer life. Tell me about your time in the Word with the Lord. And just be inspired by them. But not only that, there's examples in the Bible that we can read of the great lives of people who followed Christ. In Hebrews 11, it gives us a list of the heroes of faith and how they followed Christ. Maybe you could read a great biography of a missionary or stay-at-home mom or somebody who's an example for following Christ. So we need to be influenced by godly examples because they inspire us, they encourage us to follow Christ. So be influenced by godly examples. Number 2, way to be faithful is Beware of the wrong crowd. Beware of the wrong crowd. There was a spider that built a beautiful web in an old house, and he kept it clean and shiny so the flies would come and visit it. And the minute he got a customer, he would clean it up so the other flies would not get suspicious. And one day, a very smart fly came buzzing by the clean spider web, and the spider called out, "Come and sit." But the fly said, "No, sir. I don't see other flies in your house. I'm not going in alone." But he persisted, but he didn't give in. But he saw on the floor below a large crowd of flies dancing around on a piece of brown paper. He was delighted. He was not afraid of it because there was a lot of flies doing this. So he came in for a landing, and just before he landed, a bee zoomed by and said, "Don't land there, that's fly paper." But the very intelligent fly shouted back, "Don't be silly, the flies are dancing. There's a big crowd there, and everybody's doing it. That many flies can't be wrong." And then you know what happened next, right? Just like godly examples will inspire us, ungodly examples will pollute us. They will pull us down and away from Christ. So we have to beware of the wrong crowd. Notice in verse 18, he says, "For." He wants them to look out for godly examples. "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." He wants them to look out for good examples because not everybody there is a good example. He wants them to look for godly examples because not everybody there is godly. There are some there who is part of the wrong crowd, some who are enemies of the cross. And Paul is telling them of this, even weeping. It has influenced him in such a way. Notice what else he says about them in verse 19. He says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." There's some few things there. He says their end is destruction. That's self-explanatory, right? Says his appetite or belly is their God. It refers to unrestrained, sensual, fleshly, bodily desires. Their appetites dictate their lives. It says whose glory is their shame. They are glorying or exalting in something they should be ashamed of. It's like they're calling sin good. And they set their mind on earthly things. That sounds a lot like our world today, right? That sounds like a lot of people today whose God is their belly, who care only about what feels good or what they feel like or have a desire to do, who think about only the things here on earth. And so who are these people? Who are these enemies of the cross? Well, there's a lot of debate on that, and people have gone back and forth on that. And Paul mentions some here in chapter 1, verse 15, of some preaching Christ from envy and strife. He also mentions in verse 28 of chapter 1, he says, "In no way be alarmed by your opponents." In chapter 2, he speaks of some who, in verse 21, who all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. So he already speaks of some who are out there. And what's clear is these people probably claim to be Christians. They probably claim to be followers of Christ. And yet by their life, they are denying that they know Christ. They claim to be part of following Christ, but yet they live in a totally different way. And they're not examples for them. They are not following the way of the cross. And what stood out for me, what does it say in verse 18? For what? What's the second word there? Many, right? For many walk. That stood out to me. He doesn't say for a few walk. He doesn't say there's one or two individuals you have to look out to. He says for many walk. And that's a reminder for us that we're not to follow the crowd, right? Because most time the crowd is not going in the right way. Just because a lot of people are doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. We're like the flies that are dancing there, all together having a good time. They're on the flypaper. Just because the crowd is there doesn't mean it's good. And it's also a sad reminder that not everybody who claims to follow Christ is truly following Christ. And not everybody who claims to know Christ is a good example for us to follow. And so we have to be careful. We have to be on the lookout. To be intentional, to look out for the good examples. It's like lately, Lori's been getting a lot of watermelons lately, just been in that craving watermelons. And It's been hard to find some good ones lately. And you think you have a good one, you get it home, and it's just not that good. I think it's just that time of year. And so if you know where there's a good watermelon, let me know. But you have to be on the lookout for them. You can't just get any watermelon. They're hard to find good ones. And that's true even more so with examples. It's hard to find good ones. We have to be on the lookout. We have to be intentional, because the wrong influence can pull us down. The wrong influence can harm us and pull us away from Christ. Somebody said, well, he who lives with wolves will learn how to howl. We have to be careful. It's a great example, too. If you go to the fish market and look into the crab barrel, they never have to put a lid on the crab barrel, because as soon as a crab starts to come to the top, what happens? All the other crabs pulling back down. And that's an example. If we have bad influences in our lives, we try to grow closer to Christ, and here we are, these bad influences pulling us down away from Christ. And so we have to be careful who influences our lives. And what's sad is most of the people that we aspire to be like, and most of the people our kids aspire to be like, are those whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind only on earthly things. You say, I would never be influenced by these things. I would never put myself in that position. Well, every time you turn the TV on, you're doing that, right? You're inviting them into your house. Every time you get on the internet and you browse websites, they cater to the God of appetite. They cater to things of this world. And our kids idolize those who think only about the here and now. So we have to be very careful how we expose ourselves and our families to different things and different people, because we're influenced by people more than we realize. And so we have to beware of the wrong crowd, or we're not going to be faithful. They're going to pull us down. So to be faithful, we have to be influenced by godly examples. We have to beware of the wrong crowd. And thirdly and finally, we have to behave like a good citizen. Behave like a good citizen. There's two boys who live close together, but they live totally different lives. John has a nice house, and he has a closet full of clothes. He has a nice car. He gets plenty of food to eat. Lots of opportunities, a good education. But then there's one, and he doesn't have a car. He has a beat-up bicycle. He doesn't have a nice house. He has dirt floors. He doesn't have a good education. He has trouble just getting clean water. And they live totally different lives, and yet they live only 20 or so miles apart. You see, John lives in San Diego, California, and Juan lives in Tijuana, Mexico. Right? And so just a short, what's the difference there? What is it? It's citizenship, right? One is an American citizen, and they enjoy all the rights, all the privileges, all the responsibilities of being in America, and the other one has the challenges of being in Mexico. It's all about citizenship. It affects and influences who they are and how they live. You know, you and I, we are citizens of America, but we're not just citizens of America. What are we citizens of? Heaven, right? And so it affects how we live. It affects what we do. It affects who we are. We have to be good citizens of heaven. Notice in verse 28, it says, For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is in contrast to those who have their minds on earthly things. We can't only be about earthly things. Why? For our citizenship is in heaven. Now, this would have been a special interest to those at Philippi. If you remember, I mentioned before, Philippi was a colony of Rome. They were Roman citizens. Though they were far away from Rome, they had to live in Philippi as if they were in Rome. And they had all the privileges, all the responsibilities of being a Roman citizen, though they weren't in Rome. So they were like a tiny Rome. And the same is true for you and I. Though we're not in heaven, we have the same rights and privileges of those in heaven, and we are to live as if we are citizens of heaven, because we are. Notice in chapter 1 of Philippians, in chapter 1, in verse 27, he says, Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That term conduct there is also conversation. In the original, it literally means behave as citizens. He's saying behave as citizens worthy of the gospel. Because they are citizens, not just of Rome, they are citizens of heaven. And so they are to live as if they are in heaven, their citizenship. Now, a lot of you have probably been to Disney World, and you've probably been to Epcot Center. And one of the main things about Epcot Center is the World Showcase, right? And you go, and there's all these different countries that they showcase. There's a section of Mexico and China and Japan and Germany and all these different things. And take the Germany section, for instance. You go, and all the buildings have Germany architecture. And you go, and what kind of food do the restaurants serve? German food, right? And how are the people dressed? They're dressed like old school Germans would dress. And you go in the gift shops, and they sell German chocolate and all this sort of stuff. Though they're at Epcot Center at Disney World in Orlando, they act and live as if they're in old school Germany. And that's how you and I are to be. Though we're in America, though we're here on earth, we're to act as if we are of heaven. Right? That's why we can't be like everybody else. That's why we can't follow the crowd. Because we're not part of the crowd. We're part of Christ. And so it affects how we live. We have to honor our homeland. It also affects our perspective. Just like John and Juan have different perspectives of life because of their citizenship, we have different perspectives of life because we are citizens of heaven. And we have to see life with an eye to eternity. And I love what Paul says at the end of verse 20. We eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you eagerly awaiting for a Savior? You know, we eagerly wait for a lot of things. We eagerly wait for a football season to start. We eagerly wait for fall to come and for the summer to leave. We eagerly wait for hunting season to come. Or we eagerly wait for that sale at the mall or at another store. But are you eagerly waiting for the return of Christ? Are you that excited about going home? You look in verse 21, he says, who will transform, speaking of Christ, the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So we have to live. There's more to life than just here on earth. We have all eternity. We're to have an eternal perspective. A lot of you know we had the birthday parties this weekend. Ainsley had a sleepover with 20 of her best, closest friends, or how many there were, I don't know. It's amazing to get a bunch of girls together, and they say boys are rowdy and messy, and it's quite an evening Friday night. And then Saturday we had Emma's birthday party yesterday, and that was fun. And Leslie shared a funny thing with Laura and I the other day, and she was talking with Hannah, and Hannah just, I don't know the context, asked her when the world was going to come to end or, when God was going to come back. And Leslie said, I don't know, whenever God wants to, because that's what God wants to do. And Hannah said, I hope it's not during Ainsley's party. And she said, I hope it is, if it is, that we take cover. And, right? Nobody knows when that end is going to be. But we have to be ready for that, and we have to be excited and eager for that day when... Because this is not our home. We are just aliens passing through onto our homeland in glory. We have to make it the business of life to prepare for heaven. And as Titus 2:3 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. Earlier we sang a song, Faithfulness. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want for me. And I wonder today if that is a desire of your heart. If it is, first the main thing is to make sure you know Christ. Make sure you have that relationship with Christ, that He is your Lord and Savior, that you've turned to Him for forgiveness of sin, and that you've trusted in Him. But if you've got that right, make sure that you are being influenced by the right people. Because everybody's either going to pull us down away from Christ or pull us closer to Christ. Then also make sure that you're a good example, right? Because not only are you watching other people are watching you. And then live as if there's more to life than here on earth. That we're going on to our home in heaven. And pray to God as we sing, so take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will and conform it to yours, O Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message, Lord, on being faithful. And I pray, Lord, that's the desire of our heart, that we are faithful. But Father God, that we, Lord, that we remember, Lord, that this is not our home, we're just passing through. And Lord, that we realize that we need to look to godly examples, look to good examples of those who inspire us. And I thank you for those examples in my life and for those here at church that I can look to and be encouraged and inspired to follow you, to be faithful. And Lord, I just pray that we could be aware of the wrong influences in our life, Father. Whether it be someone that we are close friends with, or maybe it's just entertainment, or whatever form it may be, Father, I pray that you just give us some discernment, some wisdom about that, and help us, Lord, be around those who motivate us to Christ and not motivate us away from Christ. Pray for those who don't know you today, Lord, that they would see the truth and that they would submit to you as their Lord and King. And let us be faithful, Father, and let that be a desire of our heart, faithfulness. It's what we need. It's what we long for, Lord. Take our hearts, form us and shape us to be faithful in life and faithful unto death. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing and respond? However God has called you to respond today, maybe it's to pray, Lord, make me faithful. Maybe it's to pray what we're singing today, I surrender all. Maybe it's, Lord, help me be a good example. Or maybe it's to thank someone for being a good example. Maybe you need to seek Christ this morning. Whatever it is God has called you to do, as we sing, I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day.
That's truly a desire of your heart to surrender all, because that's part of us being faithful is surrendering all, not 99%, but everything to Him. So hope you have a great week, and God bless you. And I'm going to ask Martin, would you dismiss us, please, sir?
Father, we just come to you this morning, Father, and I just thank you for the word that you blessed us with this morning. Thank you for using Brother Jason to deliver that message. Father, I just pray that we'll just take it and we'll think on it, Father, and that we'll apply it. Father, I pray this morning that truly we have surrendered all to you. And if we haven't, Father, I just pray